You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
I missed you all last week. You were missed. I said good morning to the in the church that I was in, and no one said anything. It was pretty quiet. No, they were awesome. It was nice to be there. But I want to welcome you, and I'm getting myself situated up here for a second. We are doing this series on prayer, and sometimes I feel like it's hard to focus on prayer with all the chaos around you. Do you find that sometimes? Like you've got some chaos in your world? No chaos in anyone's world? All good?
Plenty of chaos.
Plenty of chaos, right? There's plenty of chaos. There is plenty of noise in our world, in our community, in our environment, in our workspace, even in our home, maybe even in our head. There is lots of noise, right? I actually want to share a video clip first. Has anyone seen the movie Give Me Liberty? People of Milwaukee, let me tell you, this movie was filmed in Milwaukee. All of it. All of it was filmed in Milwaukee. It was written and directed by someone who lived in Milwaukee. It was produced by Milwaukee. You need to see Give Me Liberty. Not really a kid-friendly movie, but I highly recommend it. It is great. The storyline is this. There's this guy, Vic, and he is a transport van driver. Okay, so he transports people that have special needs and abilities that need to get to their doctor's appointments and things like that. You see him all over Milwaukee, the white van. It says transit on the side, right? He's one of those drivers, and he is shuttling these people around. His name is Vic. And he has a chaotic day in this movie, an absolute insane job. He is family of Russian immigrants. There's a Russian boxer who just sort of walks in on the scene trying to get, there's a few people trying to get to a funeral that he's got to help. He's got to drag his client, Tracy, who's a young woman with ALS, and get her to a space on time. And I'm just going to show you a clip of the trailer today, just so it gives you a bit of a feeling of what I'm talking about when I say noise and chaos, okay? So pay attention to the screen.
Big, pick up the radio.
Answer.
Where are you?
I'll be there soon.
They need to go to the grocery store.
You. They have to go to dialysis. You. They have to get home. It's you.
You guys are still here?
What's going on?
The road is blocked. It's a protest. You can't go this way. You're going to have to go all the way around.
Damn, Nemo, disparity. Why do you think I was late?
I depend on you.
I'm going to tell you, when you leave this movie, you're not going to feel super relaxed. The movie literally, you ever see those movies that literally make your like heart rate race and go up and create anxiety in you? That's this movie. It creates anxiety in you, right? It literally creates anxiety. Can anyone relate to any of that? I mean, maybe, I don't know if any, oh, wow, I don't even have to say anything. Hands are out. I'm like, I know there's no maybe bus drivers out here or whatever, but no, everyone, right? You have these days that are so chaotic. Some of us had them this morning, right? We have these days where we have all of these outside influences that create all this noise all the time. And even some of the stuff is good. Like, it's so good that you've got your, hey, your job is to help people get to dialysis or help people get to the doctor. You're doing good work, but it's driving you crazy. There's so much noise, so much demands. And that's just the external stuff, right? There are some of us say, hey, I don't have that complicated of a life in terms of my externals, but internally, man, I am influenced by so many things inside that has got my brain just spinning all of the time. So I want to look at a season in Jesus's life and look at him as an example. So as apprentices of Jesus, we want to look at Jesus for some guidance here. And I'm kind of going to hang around Matthew 14, if you have your Bibles. But Jesus, he had just done like his sort of a round of teaching, of healing. He sort of did he's doing his parable series in the community, and he's going around teaching parables. And he gets to his hometown where everyone that should be for him is questioning him. You know, oh, he's the carpenter's kid. Like, how can he be the Messiah? Or, you know, just all this noise and chatter just sort of that would bring anyone down, right? The people who are for you, turns out that they're skeptics of you, right? And at that time, he finds out that his dear friend, John the Baptist, has been killed. Not just killed, beheaded. So imagine, you've just gone on this big trip. You go home. People aren't too kind to you at home, and then you find out your best friend is dead. And then in Matthew 14, 13 through 14, I'm going to actually read what it says there. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, hold on to that for a little second. So then, after this, after he spent some time there, crowds come, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and this isn't a small crowd. This is over 5,000 human beings in this crowd, and I'm sure they had no logistical issues whatsoever because Jesus was there. That's supposed to be funny. And yeah, they had tons of stuff, problems that happened wrong, right? I mean, where are you going to go? The bathroom. I was at Bayview Bash last night, and they had Porter Potty Village, you know, there. I mean, tons of them. I guarantee you that didn't happen there. You know, I guarantee you they were jockeying for the best parts of the shade because the sun was beating down. I want to be in the shade. I want that spot. I'm sure there were kids that were screaming, running around, having a good time. People were going, I can't hear. Can you keep those kids quiet? I'm sure that there was unruly folks in the back making all kinds of side comments. And I'm guessing there were some kind of animals running around as well. So complete chaos with all of these people, right? Massive chaos. And then, as they're sitting there, hunger sets in. And now everyone's hangry, right? Everyone wants to eat. And there's lots of noise, and there's a lot going on. And I guarantee you the disciples started giving Jesus advice because they think they know best, right? We should send these people away, it actually says, and send them to the village so they can get something to eat and they can find food. And I'm sure anxiety is kicking in the disciples because at this time in their walk with Jesus, they kind of feel like they're part of Jesus' posse and his team and PR department and feeling the pressure of making sure everything goes right. And Jesus then tells them to do something ridiculous. He says, here, take these 5 loaves of bread and some fish and just feed everybody. I mean, the noise and the chaos in this scene has to be incredible. Disciples have to be thinking in their mind, pushing back, and arguing like, Jesus is nuts, like he's lost his mind. And others are saying, no, we just got to do it. We got to do what he says to do because he's Jesus, he's Messiah. We got to do it. And then in verse 20, it says this. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So he went to pray. After he prayed, by the way, he saw the disciples way out in the water, and then he decided to take a walk himself on the water. So crazy, right? Pretty awesome, walking on the water. Now, there's a lot we could talk about in this whole sort of timeline. But what I want to focus on is what Jesus did. Not the miracles, the healings, the teachings that that happened during this timetable, but rather, but what these miracles, healings, and teachings were birthed out of. Last week, Rebecca talked about how our church wasn't just some idea, Milwaukee Vineyard, some idea that we got together and said, hey, let's go get some training and let's go start a church and let's actually go plant it in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was birthed out of prayer. This very space that you're in right now, the thing that we're doing right now was birthed out of prayer. That was the starting point. You see, and Jesus, he had been doubted by the very people that should know him. He finds out his dear friend John has been killed. He is experiencing probably pain and hurt and sorrow. He must be thinking, I've had enough of these people. They're driving me crazy. He takes time away from the noise. He separates himself from the noise, and he prays. And he comes out the other side, the other end, with compassion. With compassion. Not righteous anger, not revenge, not defeat, not exhaustion. Out of the silence and solitude, compassion is birthed in that moment. There's something about silence. There's something about silence. Getting quiet, separating out. Elijah, he stood outside a cave in the Bible, and he encounters God, not in an earthquake, not in fire, not in wind, but in silence. David, the psalmist, he speaks of waiting for God in silence. Jesus withdrew all the time. All the time. Once he even withdrew for 40 days of solitude in the desert. We don't know his posture and what he might have said when he withdrew, what method of prayer he used, and it doesn't really seem to matter. Being present and attentive in that space is what seems to matter. And to be contemplative, and that's what we're trying to unpack a little bit today, is what contemplation is to put self aside and become absorbed in the object of contemplation, the God who made us, the God who loves us. Contemplative prayer is really not like chatty prayer. It's not, we're really good at chatty prayer. We're really good at conversational prayer, right? We on our daily prayers, we're talking to God, we're trying to, you know, put up our requests or what our hurts are, our pains and things like that, and trying to also receive a response, but it's almost like conversational. We're good at that. When we pray for healing, it's often conversational prayer. What type of healing am I going to pray for? When we're praying for people, we're having conversations with God. To contemplatively gaze with awe, to wait, to listen, to be still and know God is God, that is contemplative prayer. Now, this can be really hard to do. Just curious, how many of you ever tried to do contemplative prayer of just getting quiet, centered? Yeah. So we've got some professionals maybe in the room. No? All right. It's hard. It's really hard. And you're going to fail at it. I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to be frustrated with yourself at times. Okay? But a few things I want to tell you. One, it takes time and it takes practice. It takes time and it takes practice. You have to intentionally set time aside to do it or you won't do it. And it takes practice because you're going to do it and you're going to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do contemplative prayer where I'm going to focus and be in awe of God for 30 minutes. I'm setting a timer. And 10 seconds go by and you're like, am I done yet? Like, what, something's wrong with my timer, right? It takes time, it takes practice. So I urge you to start small. Start small. Try 60 seconds. 60 seconds of just focusing in on God. Not having a conversation with him, focusing on him. Someone said, I got this idea from someone, I can't remember who. They said, actually I do remember who, but you don't know them, so it's okay. They said, get a journal and write in your journal, but don't get a fancy journal. They said, get a junk journal. Because if you get a fancy journal, you only want to put fancy words in it, right? And you won't practice that way. You will literally just put all, you won't, I have to think, like, what am I hearing? I want to make sure I write it perfectly. Just get a junk journal, start small. Just take it, get your feet wet a little bit. Get a junk journal, just write down what you're hearing from God in that time that you set aside. Just write it down. Another practical thing to do as you enter in and start practicing this is something that a lot of us use, I know, in this church, is the Pray As You Go app. It's a great app to just sort of every day do daily prayers where it guides you. It takes about anywhere from 15-ish minutes where it will guide you through scripture, prompt you questions, and time and space to wait on God. And you can pause it too, which is awesome. Those are some real practical things that you can do. Someone said we either contemplate or we exploit. When we contemplate, we can look at a flower without wanting to pick at it. We want to contemplate with God. We want to rest there. So when we pray contemplatively, we can let go of greed and the compulsion to consume stuff. We lose the desire to exploit and destroy. I don't know about you, but when I have crazy, chaotic situations or days, there is so much junk that bubbles up in me that I want to do all those things. I think about myself. I want to consume. I want to exploit. I want to destroy. I want to get out of here. I want to blow the situation up and walk away. But when we take time to be contemplative and escape the noise and rest with Jesus, we enter spaces differently. We enter spaces differently. In the words of Paul, we're rooted and grounded in love and filled with all the fullness of God when we do this. In the resting, the mind and the heart are not so much seeking God as being, I think I have a slide for this. Oh, you got it. Okay. As beginning to experience what they have been seeking. This was St. Gregory the Great. Let me read that again, because I think this is important. In the resting, the mind and the heart are not so much seeking God as beginning to experience what they have been seeking. Now, here, we pray, if you're hung around a vineyard for a long time, we have this prayer that we always do. It's like, come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. And when we go and we escape the noise and we get silent, we say, come. That quote is pretty powerful, because we're not so much seeking God, but we're seeking the experience, we're seeking that experience of him coming. Him coming and actually meeting us. And it's out of that coming and meeting us is what things get birthed out of. And so as we go through this series, we've been talking about what it would be like to pray and for God to come in our personal pain. Come and move in our church. God, come move in our city. So as we practice this contemplation, that we get quiet and we escape the noise. We escape the noise and the chaos around us. And we get quiet. And we ask. We say, focus. We say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? What is it you want to say about our church? How do you want to move in our city? And then we listen, and we listen. It's this idea of being before we do, right? It's being with God, allowing him to speak, giving him the time and space to say what he wants to say before we do. Why don't we stand?
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.